best Texas accent right there. You like that game?
That's authentic is what that seems.
I hope so.
If I didn't know better, I'd think you're from Texas, Jason.
I'm born and raised, proud of it.
Yeah.
That's about as Texan as I sound.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Reading Your Way to Heaven podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us.
So we today are talking about Introduction to the Devout Life. We're starting this amazing book from Francis de Sales. And like I shared with the introduction to this whole podcast, I've read probably about 60% of this book. Gabe, you said this was your very first time reading that, though, right?
Yeah, I've never read this book in my life before now. And even then, I've only read one chapter of one part.
These are one of those books, I feel like, along with several other Catholic classics, where when people ask you, like, hey, have you read this before? You're usually like, yeah, well, I mean, I know about it, and I know what it is. But you just try to skirt it. You don't want to be like, no, I've never read it.
Oh, man, yeah, that's a great book. Oh, geez, yeah.
I've heard a lot of great things about it.
No, tremendous grace from reading that book, for sure.
So I was like, all right, let's just suck it up and let's read this and actually know what it says instead of just BSing it, right? So this book is written, in case if you don't know, for people that are listening, hopefully you read the introduction to it. I know there's many different versions out there with different introductions and forewords and explanations. But basically, Francis de Sales was a spiritual director to this make-believe person. Basically, he had people that he would spiritually direct for, and they're like, man, you're giving so much great stuff, and the whole world needs to hear about this, and it wouldn't be great if you wrote out how to live a holy life and give spiritual direction to anyone. And so Francis de Sales creates this person called Philia. How do you say it? Philiathoa? Philiathea? I'm terrible at names.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pronounce it?
Philia.
Philiothea, I think is how you pronounce it. Philiothea. That's how I say it.
She's a filly.
She is a fine.
She's a fine filly.
That's right. But she's make-believe. She's not real, per se. Basically, the way Francis de Sales wanted us is to say, like, look, every time you see Philiothea, think of yourself. You know, insert, you know, where it says, dearest Philothea, just be like, dearest Gabe.
That's you. Uh-huh.
You know, being a Christian. So I want to hear from you, Gabe. What do you think of this first chapter of part one, book one?
Yeah, so the name of the part, part one, is Counsels and Practices Suitable for the Soul's Guidance from the First Aspiration After a Devout Life to the point when it attains a confirmed resolution to follow the same. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of words. that's quite a mouthful. But basically the idea of like, how do you go? Like, how do you move forward after that very first desire to get that resolution to live that life of discipline? And so chapter one, I think, solid, what true devotion is. Like, let's just tackle this head on. Like, when we say true devotion, which apparently when we're talking about the devout life is going to be a pretty essential thing, let's define our terms. And so, yeah, this chapter is definitely focused on, like, clearing that up, through some similes and, some analogies to help, I guess, paint the picture on, what's the difference on, you know, I guess trying to live a good life versus actually having a devout life, right? And I think the image there of the ostrich working really hard, and then the hen, and then the eagle, right? That each trying to fly, but it's the eagle that actually is able to soar, right? And a lot of times we're the ostrich, where we're flapping our wings and not going anywhere, or maybe we're the hen and we're flapping our wings and getting up in the air a little bit, you know, but then coming back down to earth, you know. But the idea of true devotion is really, I think, soaring soaring up into the heavens, you know, up into an encounter with God that's ultimately driven by love. So, yeah, no, it was good stuff.
I don't know about you, but I feel like a fat ostrich a lot of time that can never fly. After reading this first chapter, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm totally an ostrich so many times where I'm like, oh, well, I'll just do all of these great things. And I think this is also a great starter in not only for this book and this chapter, but just also this podcast of like, please realize that, you know, reading your way to heaven does not literally mean just because you read all of these books means you're going to get yourself to heaven. Just because we're going to read the Bible and catechism, anybody can pick up a Bible and catechism and read it. Yeah, and that's what he's getting at here.
Well, I feel like he debunks that really early on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I felt totally called out multiple times. He's like, you know, well, if you do this or if you do that, I mean, people are going to say that, oh man, look, there goes that person. Like you'd be called religious, you know. But No, devotion is not part of that at all. You know, that true devotion is allowing love to permeate every ounce of you, every aspect. What was the one, the analogy of the guy that loves fasting and doesn't let wine touch his lips, but is really doesn't hesitate to soak his lips in gossip and slander and it's like, oh man, that is cutting to the core there. These practices, these I think devotions or disciplines, in and of themselves are just things, but they need to be driven by love to really help you, I guess, catch that air, to really be able to soar, to really be able to sustain, right? To not be like the hen where you maybe catch a little bit and actually do leave the earth for a little bit, but it's not sustainable because it's ultimately not driven or filled with love, you know? I definitely felt called out, you know? Like, oh my gosh, what practices? Immediately I'm thinking, what practices am I doing? You know, like, okay, so I pray the rosary or, you know, I try and go to a holy hour or go to confession or do different, you know, practices and things that, you know, are good. But really, truly, am I allowing the love of God to permeate every ounce of me? And man, no, I'm not. Dang it. You know?
I love this part here where he says, even so do many persons cover themselves with certain external actions belonging to holy devotion, and the world believes them to be truly devout and spiritual. So exactly what you're saying. It's like, well, I make sure I do Divine Mercy Chapel every time at 3 o'clock, and I do a holy hour every day, and I go to Mass every day, and I do all 5 hours of the Liturgy of the Hours, all that stuff. Well, on the outside, you'd be like, wow, that girl's really holy and spiritual. But Francis Sales calls it out where he's just like, you know, the external actions belonging as if it's holy, and the world believes them to be truly devout and spiritual, whereas in reality, they are but statues and phantoms of devotion. I love that. Phantoms of devotion.
Phantasm is what my book here calls it.
Nice.
Mere phantasms of devotion. I thought, man.
So, harsh. But I love, like, I think the great thing, though, is like he doesn't, while he calls it out like later on in the chapter, I love where he talks about like, look, when you're sick and you're on the path of recovery, you're not going to mean to just bounce right back and be 100% and act normal. Like it's going to take time. It's going to feel awkward and weird, and your brain or even your heart will want to do more. Well, actually, no, sorry, scratch that. Your brain's going to say, well, I can do more. But you have to realize, well, no, but your heart's not in it. Like, that's where he's getting at. It's like, but you don't have the love. You mm-hmm. know you can do it, but if you don't have the love, then you've got to practice and you got to exercise that. And, you know, just like how you get out of sickness, you may, or, you know, if you had an injury and you're trying to get back to full strength, you're going to have to train that back up. And you've got to do it right. Otherwise, you could fall back into the problem.
Yeah, there's no shortcuts.
Right.
Right. Like you have to go step by step. I mean, when someone breaks their leg and it's healing, and finally they can start working or walking on it again. They can't just immediately go out and start, you know, squatting, you know, 500 pounds or whatever. Like, you're not going to run a marathon when you're just now walking. You need to go through the physical therapy. You need to build the muscle back up, and your brain is gonna say, well, I can do these things. I know I can do these things, but your body is like, no, you can't. The parallel there that our brain is like, oh yeah, I know these things are good, or I should be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I do pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I do pray the Rosary. I'm checking off all the boxes here, right? That what is a spiritual person? I'm reminded of the gospel when the rich man comes to Jesus and he's like, what do I have to do to attain eternal life? And Jesus is like, well, you know, follow the commandments and do this and that. And so he's like, I've done all that from my youth. Check, 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 check.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one thing finally there is like, just let go, mm-hmm. like sell off all your possessions and be totally mine, you know? And he goes away sad, right? Because he's like, oh, I'm not there yet. You know, it doesn't say that he never gets there, but in that moment he's not for sure.
Right.
And like there it is, the love, ultimately the love. What do you love more, you know? Do you love it? Does the love for God, is it large enough that it compels you to let go of everything else,
right? It reminded me of Thérèse of Lisieux, and I don't know, and if anybody's listening, please feel free to leave a comment down below on this episode if Thérèse read or really adhered to the you know, Introduction to the Devout Life, because his whole point is like small actions with great love and just that charity, that it goes hand in hand, that yes, you need to observe the commandments, but if you don't have love, then it's like St. Paul, it's just like a banging gong. But I was like, every time I kept reading this and listening to this for Shadow, just images of Thérèse kept coming to my mind. And it was like, okay, if you want to understand how to do this perfectly, there's no better example than Thérèse.
Mm-hmm.
So the last part here, and this is kind of my last, reflection, is right now in my life. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one. Do you have like a theme song, Gabe? Is there like a song in your life that it's like, this is my, like, not only is it my song, but like, this is my quote unquote theme song for my life right now?
You know, I have at different times, but no, not right now in this moment. I'm theme songless. No.
So for me right now, I have one, and it's like, it's one of my favorite songs and right now. And it ties right in with this last part of Francis of Sales chapter. So the song is by Switchfoot, which I know for you, Gabe, you're like, well, duh, of course. And for those that are listeners,
oh, I'm just surprised you didn't say AC/DC. So I'm happy.
It's Hell's Bells, and it's Switchfoot. It's called.
In college we used to play a game with theme songs. Jake, who you know, my roommate in college, we used to go, when we were hanging out, we'd go to a restaurant and grab a burger or a bite to eat. And, you know, sometimes, well, oftentimes there's music playing overhead when you go to a restaurant in the house sound system. And, so one day, I don't remember who it was, me or him, but one of us said, okay, the next song that plays is my theme song, you know? That when you walk into a room, a crowded room, everything mm-hmm. stops, right? Everyone turns and looks at you, and then you walk in slow motion, and this song is playing. And and you never know what the next song's going to be. So like, the next song, my theme song, is like a great restaurant game. And the best story is I was out with some friends, and this guy, he's like, okay, all right, fine, I'll play. The next song is my song, and it was Man Eater. Have you heard of that song?
Mm-hmm.
It's like from the 80s? Like, whoa, here she comes. Look out, boy, she'll chew you up. I'm like, oh, man, that is so you, man. That is so you.
I mean, who better than Hall & Oates? So, I mean, if you're going to pick a duo.
Right. You know, it was quintessential for my friend.
So I found it, and it's called Take My Fire is the name of the song by Switchfoot. It's from their latest album. And
so what grabs you about that song?
Oh, gosh. There's not enough time to go all into it. But it's a very, like, it's got everything. It's got everything.
It's got everything. it's got everything, Gabe.
It's got everything. Loud music, crunch. But for me, it's got all the right elements. It's got a great riff to start it off. It's rock. It's in your face. It's very bass heavy. It's loud. But the words are so good. It's very quick. There's a lot of lyrics, but I'll read a couple for you. So I'll read like the first verse. It says, every day enemy tried to get the best of me, the enemy under my skin. Every day enemy, my fatal flaw anatomy, feeling like I just can't win. Sometimes I wish I didn't feel that much. Sometimes I wish I didn't need that touch. But every day my enemy pretend to be a friend to me, no matter what state I'm in. And then the chorus is, but you're never going to take my fire. I cannot be tamed. No, you're never going to take my fire. It's burning in my veins. You say the world is changing, but I still burn the same. No, you're never going to take my fire. Take my fire. Let me burn now. And it goes on from there. I mean, it's just one of the best songs I think John Foreman has ever written, ever. And he's written hundreds. But the reason why I bring that up is near the end of this chapter where he starts talking about the, he says, in fine, charity and devotion differ no more, the one from the other, than the flame from the fire, inasmuch as charity, being a spiritual fire, when it breaks out into flame, is called devotion, so that devotion adds nothing to the fire of charity, save the flame which makes charity ready, active and diligent, not only in observing the commandments of God, but in practicing the heavenly counsels and inspirations. So yeah, just him tying the devotion and charity and just the fire that the Holy Spirit has put within us, that fire of love, the fire of charity and true devotion that the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us back to the Father and Son. And know that, and a little bit of a spoiler, you know, Francis de Sales is going to get into that spiritual warfare. He's going to get into the attacks the enemy uses to rob us of our spiritual devotion to God. And so tying back to that song and that very first verse of like, there is a battle for our soul and, there's a war being waged and we are part of the battle and we have to be diligent in that and not to let the fire be tamed within us.
Nice. Yeah. I can see how you'd think of that for sure. Given the knowledge that we're going to go into that and for sure that like the flame that is ultimately fueled by love. Yeah. Good deal. Good stuff. I'll have to check that song out, man.
Yeah.
See, this is where you jump in here with a little music bed of a snippet of that song. But you're never gonna take my fire. I cannot be tamed. Yeah. No, so for this first chapter of the first part, yeah, I'm excited to read more. It's not what I liked about what we're doing and this is it wasn't overwhelming. Like I think when you look at it as a whole, it can be because there's mm-hmm. like there's several different parts and each part has, oh my gosh, how many chapters, but just taking it nugget by nugget, piece by piece, you know, this first chapter was just a few pages long. It wasn't very big at all. And to be able to just to sit and reflect and spend some time with it and dive deep in it. Yeah. Please do it. It's a lot of fruit to be gained from that. And let's together grow in the devout life. It's a journey with St. Francis de Sales.
Amen.
I'm excited to read the next chapter, man.
That's all I care about is, are you ready to read the next chapter?
Yeah, I want more. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So with that, I think that's going to be a wrap for us on this episode. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Be sure to tune in, catch any of the previous stuff we did, or, you know, catch the next one we have coming up with the Gospel and the Catechism, or catch us next week with part one, chapter two of Introduction to the Devout Life. But until then, thanks for listening to Reading Your Way to Heaven. You can find us on our website. And until next time, love you, bye.